Hey, friends. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another MoGraph MoCast. I'm Matt. Joining me this week from Mothers of MoGraph, Casey Smith and Jenny Davis. Hi. And super excited to talk to y'all. We're going to have a good time. We're going to talk about what y'all do and Mothers of MoGraph, and it's going to be a lot of fun. But first, I want to thank our sponsor, Otoy. They are the makers of Octane Render, as well as the Render Network. They're a universal sponsor. They're sponsoring the podcast and the website. And if you've seen a lot of the website changes that we've done over the past past year, you can thank them for it. They've been helping us make that possible. They're the makers of Octane. And go give them a shout out. Also, reminder, RenderCon is happening April 15th, and they just did a call for art. So if you are a Octane user or a render user, they're looking specifically for work that has been rendered on the Render Network. So you can go to renderfoundation.com/submit art. In order to submit that art. Also, if you have a project that you would love to throw up to the Render Network, you can also go there and request some render tokens so that they can, you can help render your stuff. Renderfoundation.com/RenderCon. Reminder, you can use the promo code MoGraph for a free ticket. So April 15th, it's going to be a lot of fun, a whole day event, and we will be there. Yeah. Also, NAB's coming up in a few weeks. Are either of y'all going to NAB?
Not this year, no.
No karaoke this year?
No karaoke this year. I know. I've got to retire the sparkly blazer.
Right? That's funny. Yeah, NAB's going to be a lot of fun. Me and my wife are going in on Friday, and so we're going to spend a couple days in Vegas. She leaves on Sunday, like right before the big School of Motion MoGraph party, and so then I'm going to do that. And what's great is I don't have to actually like work the event this year, so get to have a lot of fun. Good. We're actually going to enjoy NAB. So
yeah, you weren't working it last year, right?
I wasn't. Or were you? No, and it was awesome. It was.
Yeah, it seemed like you were having a good time.
It was. I was actually having a good time. So, for those who are going to NAB, though, the School of Motion parties on Sunday, the MoGraph and iDesign Kerry Mokey party is on Monday. Wait, Sunday is the School of Motion. Monday is the Kerry Mokey party. Hit me up. Email me, matt@mograph.com. I'll send you a link to where it is. Or you can go to mograph.com/group/MoGraph. And find the tickets there. So, yeah. How are y'all?
Busy.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
But good. Yeah. It's like work busy, life busy.
Yeah.
Jenny's been busy.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. How are y'all feeling any of the effects of like some of the studios shutting down or... You know, are y'all worried about any of that stuff? I think there was one more that just shut down, the studio behind Dogman. Have y'all seen Dogman?
Oh, yeah, we did go see that.
It was fantastic.
Did you say it was
you
terrible,
it was
Jenny?
Awful? Oh, I thought it was so good.
My kiddo, it's her favorite books are those Dogman books. So we went and saw it at the theater. We haven't been in the theater in a while. She was very excited.
Yeah.
And we listened to the soundtrack often.
Yeah.
So.
My husband and I both took a nap and my kid watched it. And I'm not sure what happened after about 25 minutes. I'm like, nope, I'm out.
Aw, that's a shame. I thought it was really funny. It was really cute. Who's the author of the Dogman books?
I can't remember his
name.
I have
him in the next room, though.
Yeah. I know.
Dave Pilkey. Dave Pilkey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you all seen the Captain Underpants movie?
Yes. No, I haven't seen them.
I haven't seen that one.
So I had very little expectations for a movie called Captain Underpants, but honestly, like it blew me away. I was like, this is one of the funniest cartoons I've ever seen. And then,
but I prefer Captain Underpants too. This is a ridiculous conversation. but I prefer Captain Underpants to Dogman. like, I don't know, like the premises of Dogman are just so stupid. So it's just like, I can get past that.
His whole story, though, like the author, his whole story is really interesting, I think, because, you know, he was like really scolded in school and stuff for like all of his doodling. Yeah. And then his doodling became his whole career. Yeah. So. And children everywhere love him.
Yes, they do. I was when Captain Underpants came out, and then they did a TV show on Netflix. And the TV show, I think, as like someone who does animation and production and knows that whole thing, they make so many like inside jokes about people who work in animation. You know, there was one episode where crazy stuff was happening and there was this big fight, but then it kept on getting like lower quality and more lower quality, and they're like, we're running out of budget.
I remember that.
It's such a smart show, you know, and for as silly of a premise as it is, but
we'll see. We'll have to see if Kiddo decides to dive into that arena. We haven't gotten into Captain Underpants arena yet.
Well, if she likes Dave Pilkey, and you know, my kid likes both of them, you know.
Yeah. So we've been doing a Diary of a Wimpy Kid quite a bit too.
All right. Mm-hmm. And my kid has been reading, my oldest has been reading I swear he's been reading the first Harry Potter book for like 6 months now. And he's like, I like to encourage him to read. Because over the past like year and a half, like last year in January, my wife's a librarian, so she reads all the time, you know? And I was like, I should read more. I should get off of TikTok and start reading more. So I read a lot last year, and through that, like every day I ask him, hey, what are you reading? Just to kind of like encourage him to maybe read more, or like he sees us reading and, but every time I ask, what are you reading? Oh, Harry Potter. It's always there. It's like, that's the deal.
Well, to be fair, there's like seven of them. Eight of them. Yeah. Seven of them. Plus all of like whatever. Yeah. So maybe he is. It takes a long time to read it. We've been reading it for a while with my daughter. We get through like three pages at a time because she's so bouncy.
I have a very bouncy child as well. Yes. Jenny, how old is yours?
She's seven.
Seven. Okay. And you just have the one?
Yeah.
Girl? Yep. And Casey, you just have one, right?
Yep. And she'll be nine here in a couple weeks.
All right. Yeah. That's exciting.
We're getting into some tweening.
Yeah.
She's tweening.
Yep. My oldest turns 12 in June.
You're in the thick of it.
I am. Yeah. That early preteen.
Between the ages of 8 and 9 has been a big jump, I think. It's been really shocking, actually, how grown up she's become in such a short amount of time.
Yeah.
And, you know, crushes and I know all the things that I am not prepared for at all, because I didn't think it would be coming this quick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I've got a 5-year-old as well, you know, and he's in pre-K, and it's such an interesting, I don't know. When you have a second kid, it's like, I've had one kid. They're fine. Then you have a second kid. We had him, he was a COVID baby. So he was born in January and then the world shut down in March, you know? And he was, I don't know if y'all had like one of these, but like, he was not a good sleeper. I feel like for like 4 years straight, I didn't get any sleep, you know? And so, it's such a crazy difference between my oldest, who is just like bounce off the walls all the time. He's an ADHD kid as well. So like he is, you know, there's the term, what is it? Golden retriever energy.
Yes.
But I like to say he's got husky energy because he just screams all day.
Oh no.
So, but then my youngest is like,
you can stick him outside in the snow then though.
Right, that's true. He loves the snow.
Yours are both boys?
Both boys, yes. Yeah, I wanted two girls, didn't get that. You know, I grew up with all brothers too, so.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Most of my friends had boys. And so my kiddo has been like the one girl in the friend group.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
and there definitely seems to be a difference in energy levels, like with my friends' kids and with mine. So
yeah. I've got my older brother has two kids, both girls, you know, and he's pretty chill all the time. I'm like, dude, you don't know. You don't know. you'll probably feel it later. You know, we'll see. Yep.
I'm telling you, the attitude is already in full swing at the age of 9.
Yep.
So,
yeah. All right. So, I mean, parenting, that's a good segue to Mothers of MoGraph. Talk to me a bit about Mothers of MoGraph, like why it got started, how it got started, you know, and that. Yeah.
Jenny, do you want to start?
No, you take it away.
Okay. Well, Mothers of MoGraph started because actually, you know, Camp MoGraph for me sparked quite a few different things along the way. But when I went to my first camp in Portland, I don't know besides like pregnant Julie if there were any other moms there besides me.
Yeah.
And it was like a really kind of isolating experience in a way, because, you know, I'm off like trying to make the phone calls to kiddo before bedtime. And for a long time, I felt like that was a part of myself I really had to hide at conferences and those kinds of things, because like, for one, there's a fear that you might not get hired for things because people think that you are not reliable. But also, there's, you know, like when you're in a male dominated industry, I didn't feel like that was the topic that was wanted to be talking about.
For sure.
But anyway, so it was very lonely. It took about 7 years into my career before I met another mom. And so like, it really felt like uncharted territory. Like I was swimming in waters that had not ever been explored, and it was really hard. And like motherhood already is very difficult, but then like also trying to manage my business. And I was freelance at the time. Mm-hmm. Well, I started in a studio, quit to go freelance. It was really alienating. So anyway, flash forward, Amanda Russell was at camp, and it was the first time I had seen somebody on a stage that I felt like represented a lot of who I was. And that sparked something for me there. I was like, gosh, there has to be other moms. You know, I have 1,001 questions. I think I ran Amanda down with all of my questions. It took us about a year later to reconnect, though, and do that. And then I just put something out on LinkedIn that was like, is there anyone else out here? And Jenny and I found each other. So we weren't even connected on LinkedIn, but somehow, like through the connections, the algorithm brought us together.
Praise the algorithm.
Praise the algorithm. And we spoke like one time and we just clicked, and then we took off. But, you know, Jenny was having her own experience like on the other side of the country, where things continent. She's in Canada.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. Well, that's a LinkedIn success story, because I don't see any.
I think it definitely was, you know, a little woo-woo maybe, but fate brought us together, and here we are. And now we have almost 300 moms in our community.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm not a mom. I'm a dad, you know. But I joined the community just to kind of like feel that, because, you know, there's a difference between hanging out with a bunch of your other MoGraph friends who are parents and who aren't, you know, and like it's nice to have that camaraderie and that understanding about stuff, you know.
Yes. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and through the birth of Mothers of MoGraph, there really has been a big surge of other parents and dads in the community really reaching out and saying, hey, I know I'm not a mom, but this resonates with me. This is like, because I think just in general, I'm sure that fathers have their own set of societal bullshit that they have to deal with as well, you know? And I think that us just coming out and being present has also helped mm-hmm. other parents come out and feel like that's a part of themselves that they can, that they don't have to put aside. Like, we can be both things at yeah. the same time. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it's created some space for everybody to sort of bring in their personal life as well, and admit that their personal life at times may be more important than their professional life. And they're, you know, they're two sides of the same coin. Like, you can't have one without the other. So, and I think, not that before us nobody spoke about kids, but I think there's just been some, there's like a leveling of a playing field, being like, it's okay that you have kids. Like, I'm like, you know, I'm here for that, and I have kids too. And I think, I mean, we talk about this a lot, but I think one of the main reasons why we didn't hear a lot from parents before, and why people felt like it was so like awkward and to speak about it, is because motion design is such a young industry, mm-hmm. and I like there weren't a ton of people that were like aging into it, and now, you know, people in their 30s and 40s are here, and like that they make up a big part of this community where we started, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and we all had kids. Nobody was saying anything.
Yeah.
And we were still like plowing on like we were 20 and being like, okay, yeah, I can work 15 hours a day, and you know, it's like, and now it's like, no, actually, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you get this hustle culture, you know, that I just despise the hustle culture. I don't get it. You know, maybe, well, it's because I'm 42 right now, you know, but back when I guess I was in my 20s, you know, late 20s, early 30s, it was like, okay, I get this, you know, let's work and work. But the more you do that, you realize that it's like, this is taking away from the time I'm missing my children grow up, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I had actually started when my daughter was born. I was on the VFX side of things, and the VFX world is pretty intense at times. And I worked for Leica, so that actually was kind of a dream VFX studio to work or studio in general to work for. And they are actually very good to their people generally, but it still was very, very hard when I was pregnant, especially when I was pregnant, because I was so sick through so much of it. Mm-hmm. And then obviously when my daughter was born, it was even tougher, which is why ultimately I ended up leaving. Yeah.
And I think there's these weird societal things that I have seen my wife deal with. And I'm sure as a woman in the industry, there are specific societal things that you just feel like you're not supposed to talk about, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think community like this is so important, because, you know, it's as weird of a comparison. So before as I was in motion design and stuff like that, and just kind of running my own business, I wasn't sure whether I was doing it correctly. You know, and so I read Joey's book, you know, The Freelance Manifesto, and I realized, oh, okay, I'm doing some of those things correctly. So put that in comparison to Mothers of MoGraph. It's like, you know, we're running a business, we're being parents, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, it's not until you find other people or, you know, read some of these books or something like that, where it's like, okay, well, I'm doing it mostly correctly. There's other people, you know, who are dealing with the same things that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, like, I really love that part of our community, just because, like, a lot of people will ask questions, and there's, you know, there's questions in business and all the different Slack channels in the Slack channel. And people ask questions, and I love that it's always coming from a place of, like, you get what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to, like, fix my parenting skills here. I'm asking you for your advice from the perspective of other parents. And I, like, I really appreciate that. And it's, I haven't seen that in any of the other, like, you know, the other Slack channels have like a parenting, whatever, but, it's really not the same like we're not necessarily like we almost never really share like super parenting stories and stuff like that on our Slack, I would say. Mm-hmm. I think most of it is just, you know, being in this industry as slash parents.
Yeah.
The conversations that happen in the Slack community are really fun to see because mm-hmm. boy, I wish I had a resource like that, you know, and just moms being able to be like, hey, I was offered this position but it's this far away and my commute's going to be this. And like, how, like, have anyone else experienced this? And like, what did you do? And silly, just like all kinds of stuff like that. And it's so just heartwarming to see that these connections are being made and that people can ask for other experiences and advice.
I mean, community, it's something that I've said from the very beginning. It's the whole reason we started MoGraph.com, you know, mm-hmm. is to help build communities and help, you know, bring people together and stuff like that. And, you know, even if I didn't directly help with Mothers of MoGraph, I'm glad I could, you know, yeah. we could help at least in a little bit.
The community at large has been so supportive mm-hmm. and very, like, I have to say, when we started, I was really scared to even put myself out there in that way. Mm-hmm. And then, and we launched actually when it was at camp, Colorado, mm-hmm. and I started handing out stickers there that year, and that's really how we kind of got our start. And bless Jen Van Horn and EJB, because they were handing out more stickers than I was, I think. but we love our supporters. It was scary, but then the amount of love we received so quickly, like it really eased a lot of that. Pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah. And it's interesting, Jenny, you were mentioning, you know, because MoGraph is such a new career and stuff like that. It's like we joked around at the first camp that no one's ever really like retired from MoGraph yet, you know, or motion design. And it's like, okay.
Except for Joey Corman.
Right.
Still out there hustling.
and it's like, you know, I guess when motion design started and stuff, it was, you know, early days or MK12 and stuff like that. And we were, I don't know about y'all. I mean, I feel like I'm older than y'all. I don't know. I don't want to ask age. Anyway, but like I was in my, you know, early 20s and stuff like that. And it's like, we grew up with motion design. There wasn't other people doing what we were doing, you know, we were all so young and like we're all experiencing this together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of the really rewarding things that has been happening with Mothers of MoGraph is that, you know, we're constantly having more young people join the industry. And we've had a lot of young women come up and say, thank you for this because I didn't know mm-hmm. if it would be possible. And really, when we decided to have family, I didn't know if it would be possible either, but we just went and did it anyway. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been really just a really special thing to have so many women say, thanks for this. Now I know, like, we can do this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, same with me and my wife when we were like, should we have another kid or should we have a kid at all? It's like, you know, the advice I give people is, if you want to have a child, just do it, you know?
Yeah.
You'll figure it out, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're a smart, responsible person and you want to have a child, you're going to figure it out, I would assume, you know? And it's like, what's so funny to me as a parent, you know, when you're a kid, you look up to your parents and you're like, man, they know everything. They've got this on lock, you know, they, mm-hmm. or at least for me it was, you know, and it's like being a parent now, it's like, I'm just like bullshitting my way through this right now. Mm.
Yes.
I have no inkling what I'm doing. I'm just trying my best to keep everyone fed and happy and like everything else. But really, I have no idea what I'm doing.
And I wonder now if my folks still don't know what they're doing, because it feels like to me that they've got it all figured out, but I'm sure once I get to their season now, mm-hmm. I'll be like, shit, they still didn't know what they were doing. Yeah.
Jenny, were you going to say something?
Forgot what it was. I'm assuming it was nothing important.
But I mean, parenting is, it's, you know, it's one of the most rewarding things. You know, if you followed that, we have a parenting channel in the MoGraph Slack. And for the longest time, I was like, it was when my kid was really young, we were dealing with COVID and like, you know, hardcore not getting any sleep. The number of times I would hop in there, just be like, don't have kids. This is my number one advice to everyone. Don't have kids, you know, but it's like, as they grow up, like I've got almost a 12-year-old and a 5-year-old. And it's like, now not having to deal with daycare is also a huge thing. They're both in elementary school. And it's like, things have like leveled out. For advice for parents who are like in the thick of it, it does get better. You may not feel like it does immediately, but it does get better.
Yeah, I think we like to remind people that like everything's a season. And, you know, when you're thinking about having kids, when you have young children or preteens or teenagers or whatever, it's all a season, and every like this too shall pass. So it's hard to see the opposite side when they're really young, because they are very consuming. And especially in the States, when you have terrible mat leave policies,
yeah.
I'm just like brutal mat leave policies that don't make it accessible for a lot of people. It's hard to see the other side of it. It's hard to see, you know, it's hard to give birth and go back to work 6 weeks later. I mean, 6 weeks later, your hormones aren't leveled yet. Like, you're still not thinking straight. There's actual science behind this stuff, and yet, never mind.
You're fine. Absolutely.
Anyways, it's not mine.
It's a very passionate topic for many people in our community. Yeah.
And it's just hard. It's heartbreaking to hear people having to like make a decision whether, you know, they're going back to work at 6 weeks or 3 months. I mean, that's just bonkers. Like, your kid can't even hold their head up yet.
Yeah.
And you're like giving it like, and it, like the expectations that like parent, like your, the parents or the grandparents or whatever will step in. It's like, well, I like, my parents don't live anywhere near me. What am I supposed to do? Like, anyways, but I don't remember where I was going with that, but it's very annoying.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of hardships that come with being a parent, you know. Yeah. I know during COVID, so my wife was on maternity leave, and then we had spring break, and then the world shut down. So she didn't go back to work, you know, she didn't go back to work, and we were just working from home together. And it was an extremely hard time, you know, because we also didn't have a daycare. Daycares weren't open at the time. And so like having to parent and work, and you have these high expectations and everything. I think COVID did a lot for like the expectation of parenting. I don't know if y'all experienced this, but it's like, you know, you'll randomly have your kid just walk in on a Zoom meeting or something. And it's like, that became commonplace during COVID so much that it's like, okay, if that happens, it's like, you just understand that you are a parent, you know? It's like, well, that used to be seen maybe as like, you know, you see the old CNN clip of the guy, you know, and like the kid just walking in, you know, it's like that. Yeah. That used to be seen as unprofessional, but now I'm on Google Meet and Zoom calls and stuff, especially now that we're all so remote, or that remote is a whole lot more, allowed, I guess, you know?
Yeah,
that it's like you'll see someone blurred out background and, you know, their kids are running back behind there. And it's like, that's just part of life. You know, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I do think that COVID leveled the playing field a little bit when everybody had to be at home. I had been working from home for a few years before COVID had started, freelancing and stuff. I would have been devastated if Kiddo would have ran in on one of my calls before then, because I would have thought my career was over. Honestly, like, you just, like, there's so much weight to those things, because most of my clients didn't even know that I was a mom during all that time. And then once COVID came around, it definitely made things a lot more relaxed in terms of that. And yeah, I think it did open
the one
some doors
good
in that
thing
way.
That came out of
COVID. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Oh, I was going to say something. I don't remember what it was. Oh yeah. Especially during that time, like our youngest, because there was no, you know, no daycare or anything like that. Once the daycare started opening up, we ran into so many problems, because it's like, we'd take our kid to daycare and then they'd have a COVID outbreak and then we had to bring him, take him home, you know? And, luckily I was doing well enough to where my kid's, Taekwondo instructor, she was looking for side work. So I was like, hey, if you don't have anything going on, if you want to like babysit for like watch our kid for 3 days out of the week, that would be fantastic. And then luckily we had my in-laws who were just fantastic. We're able to help. But you know, what comes with that is like, once we got him back into daycare, it's like COVID was still a thing and my in-laws would go pick him up. And then they ended up getting sick because he was in daycare. And it was all just this horrible thing that you, and it's like, there's this give and take with parenting that you just have to deal with, and it sucks, you know?
Yeah. Well, definitely, society is not built for parenthood at all. That's what daycare, like, you know, schools let out at 3 and our work day isn't until 5.
US.
Yes, yeah.
I have it too. My kid gets out of school at 2:45 and I don't know what they expect us to do with it. And there's no spot. Yeah. Like we were on the wait list for aftercare for 2 years. So,
jeez.
We just got in March. So, in February. So like, the cost of having like private aftercare, which is basically essential if your kid's finishing work at 2:45, it's like astronomical. And we were paying more for 2 hours of aftercare than some of my friends were paying for full-time daycare, because last year, Canada or Ontario, I don't know if it's all Canada, but Ontario implemented a $10 a day daycare.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, when my kid was in daycare, we were paying like $2,000 Canadian for daycare. And then, you know, if she was sick or whatever, we'd still have to pay if there was a COVID outbreak, we'd still have to pay. So, it's like the world has like, our entire, not only our industry, like the entire working industry is built on like archaic
labor practices.
Practices. Like, you know, when it was common and acceptable for there to be one working parent, where it was common and acceptable for women to stay at home and taking care of the kids. And now there's conversations about like, is that what I want to do? I don't know. And, you know, have you watched Fargo?
Fargo?
Yes, the recent one.
No, I haven't seen the show. I think I saw the movie years and years ago.
Yeah.
I saw the first, like, 2 episodes, and it was fantastic.
Side note, like, watch Fargo. It's fantastic. it just like, really brings to light, you know, situations of, like, domestic abuse, and how having, you know, your own way of providing for yourself and like having, you know, a way out, and you're not relying on somebody else and, for your well-being or for your children's well-being. And, like the situation that it is nowadays, I don't think there are a lot of places where it is livable to live on one income unless that one person is making a lot of money. Yeah. So it's just the reality of the way the cost of living in modern day society just doesn't allow that anymore. But yet, you know, daycares are incredibly expensive. A lot of the times, like, we had friends at the time that didn't know if they should go back to work because they'd basically be paying their entire income to daycare.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or like a huge portion of it. And was it worth it? And, but then if they don't go back, then they have this huge career gap. And then would they get another job? And in Canada, we have 12 months mat leave, which is
amazing,
incredible. But you know, that also leaves way for other issues, like, you know, coming back to motion graphics. Like, had I gone away like last year, we come back and all of a sudden there's all this AI and Rive and all these new platforms. It's like, wait, what? And so it's hard to keep up while you're gone. In all of those aspects. But yeah, modern day society and childcare have not combined yet. Yeah. And it's not only in our industry. I think our industry, it was very like apparent to us because, obviously we're in it, but, it is a young industry and there was no frame of reference for what it was to be a parent. But now I think a huge portion of the industry, and I'm going to say like more than 50%, have children.
Yeah.
And yet, like, I still see people working, 9 to 8 or talking about working 10 hours a day. And it's like, you shouldn't be working 10 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, that's not your problem. That's somebody else's problem. And it's all of these things that we can see now in our industry that aren't working, and we can start talking about it. And that's one of the things that I really love about this platform of Mothers of Roadgraph, that we get to say, hey, this isn't okay. And it's not okay just for moms. It's not okay for that 20-year-old coming out of school and like taking his first job. He or she shouldn't be doing that either. It's not okay for VFX to be working like all nighters and all those kinds of things. And then
just to get laid off in the end.
I don't remember, on one of the Slack channels, somebody was talking about, he was working for a company. Honestly, don't remember where it was happening. I'm on a lot of Slack channels, but he was saying like the company had hired him and he was working 8 hours a day, but he was actually working 10 hours a day and he didn't have enough time to take a lunch. And I'm like, and he's like, he was wondering if lunch was included in this day rate. And I'm like, obviously it's included.
Yeah.
Like, that's illegal to tell you not to have lunch.
Yeah.
like, you are allowed to step away and like multiple times a day to go and like, you know, take your dog for a walk, go to the bathroom, have something to eat, breathe. The fact that their deliverable is the next day or whatever, that's not your problem. That's a problem with the production. Like, they have something wrong if you are not allowed to do that. Like, there should be more people on. Like, that's a budget problem, and that's a you problem, not a me problem.
Yeah. And I like that you're bringing, you know, that you're helping that idea of that, like, hey, we need to normalize the fact that this is not okay. Because the more we do that, and the more our industry is used to that kind of kickback, you know, the more you'll find that if, like, for me, for example, I don't deal with like after hour stuff at I'm just like, no, that's my time with my family. That's all I get. Mm-hmm. My kids get home at like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and then they're in bed by 7:30. I get 2.5 hours with them. You know, it's like, sorry, this is my time.
They want to watch television anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So you know, but it's all right. I mean, they can just sit next to me while they're watching their iPad and it's fine. You know, you can still get that closeness, but it's like as once the normalization of the hustle culture really was detrimental to our industry, you know, especially as parents and for not just as parents, but for mental health and our sanity.
Yes, I like to say a lot of times, like especially when I go to conferences and these kinds of things representing Mothers of MoGraph, that we're like, obviously we're out here fighting for moms, but we're also fighting for anyone who has a life outside of their job. So, you know, like I really truly believe that helping moms helps everyone. Because people really do deserve to have their life and their time. Mm-hmm. So
100%.
It's wild to think that this is something we have to even fight for, but
right. It's like, I shouldn't have to say, or I shouldn't have to feel guilty about saying, oh, I'm having dinner with my family, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yet there's that.
Or like, I'm not going to answer your call at, you know, 5:15. I'm out.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Right.
You know, I think something that I really struggle with actually, because I'm like, if I see something, I have to answer it right away.
I'm like that as well.
I'm the worst. My husband, he's so good at it. Yesterday he was talking with somebody and he wanted me to like review an NDA. He's a designer as well. And he wanted me to just like look over the NDA, and I was helping him just like, and there was he had a couple of questions. So I'm like, oh, let's just like write it down. And we put it in an email. And then he's like, oh, don't send it. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, no, I'll send it tomorrow morning. I'm like, really? But that's something that I have, like, I do try to like make my clients aware that like, I may answer you between, you know, after hours, but if I don't, like, don't expect it. Like, I am there every morning and I'll be there every afternoon, but when I'm done, it's my choice. So if I decide to answer you, then that's okay. But if I decide not to, then you're just gonna have to wait, and it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Setting boundaries is one of the hardest things to learn in this industry. I think whether you're a parent or not a parent, like, it was something I struggled with well before parenthood.
Yeah.
Becoming a mom helped me set boundaries more. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Parenthood helped me set boundaries. And I think like we had this discussion with Mothers of MoGraph where like our first year we were just like, bang, 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 bang. And we were just doing like, so like we worked so hard on everything at the beginning and we were putting in so much extra hours. And like, we did like, you know, we didn't do like, you know, huge, like full branding or everything, but we were, you know, we were working on like what it looks like and how we show up, and we were doing the store and we were opening the Slack and we were doing the LinkedIn and the posts and all these kinds of things. And then at some point,
and we were doing a panel at Midwest,
the panels and the events and everything. And I said to Casey, I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Like, this is it. This is my boundary. And like, I am prepared to put X amount of work into this because I love it. And this is something that I'm doing out of like pure passion. Like, talk about passion projects. This is my fucking passion project.
Yeah.
Like, and I love it. And I love the community that we've created, but I also have to be like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm getting better at being okay with saying like, no, I'm not going to do every single podcast that people ask me to do, or I'm not going to jump on
for doing this one.
And I'm not going to, like, you know, I get a lot of LinkedIn messages as well now, people asking for advice or like wanting to hear how I started. And I'm like, you know what? I am in so many podcasts. Yeah. So here's a link. Why don't you listen to this? Yeah. my time is super valuable. And I'm really okay with saying my time is super valuable and this is not the right time for that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Casey.
Oh, I was going to just say, and we did a hard pull back on the reins right before the holidays, around the holidays. Because we were like, we have to stop right now. We can't keep at this momentum. And we've been slowly picking back up. But the thing that we've kind of learned and realized is like, it's nothing has like nothing exploded when we pulled back, you know, everything is still going.
Yeah.
We're still moving forward. It might not be as fast as we were moving before, but things are still moving forward. Our community is still thriving. Mm-hmm. The women in there are still like, they almost run the community themselves at this point. And it's totally okay that we needed to take a step back, but it was really hard to do that because we thought, oh, we're going to lose all these opportunities. We're going to lose momentum. People aren't going to want to hear about it anymore. All these different things. We were very scared about it, but another life lesson out of mom is that, you know, it's okay. It's okay to pull those reins.
Yeah.
So
boundaries are acceptable.
I get that as someone who's been doing MoGraph.com for 10 years,
yeah,
you know, almost on a weekly basis. And then also doing, I did Camp MoGraph for 5 years, you know, we did 6 camps in 5 years.
A lot of work.
It's a lot of work. Last year, for those who don't know, I personally left being a director at camp last year because, like you said, I was overworked and I was spending my nights, especially, having to do Australia as well, because you've got to be on at a specific time with the Australia team because they can't hop on at 4 a.m. their time, you know? So it's like, I was spending a lot of late nights talking to them and getting things organized. And then, you know, you have regular camp stuff. And then it's like, at what point in time am I supposed to try and run a business, you know, between all of this stuff? And it's like, so I decided I'm going to step back from camp. You know, and so as everyone has seen, you know, Mark, I think, felt the same way about like how much work it was versus running a business. And so now Dave is taking the reins on camp, which is, it's great. It's going to be fun. For those who didn't hear, the beach is back. The next Camp MoGraph is going to be at Virginia Beach. It's going to be a lot of fun. He'll have a new website up here shortly for y'all to check out. But, you know, it's like, it's still that you get excited about a new project, you know, it's that ADHD. I'm really excited. I want to go all gung ho on this, you know, and then you get into it and you realize, oh man, this is a lot of work, you know, but it's great that I love that and I've noticed this with our Slack as well. The MoGraph Slack, it's like, I'm not on it barely anymore, but people are still active. Mm-hmm. There's still people who want invites. We've got 2,000 active members. Well, 2,000 members, not as many active members and stuff like that, you know? But it's like, once you kind of set this community, it's like the community, you know, you don't have to be as active in it. And I don't know. Yeah, I'm with you.
It becomes bigger than you.
Yeah.
You know, yes, we started it, but it was never for us necessarily. It was always to help at least one other mom feel less lonely. That's what we had always said, right?
Yeah.
And we've definitely achieved that 300 times over, but it's you know, it's it just becomes more and bigger than you. Yeah.
Shrimp and hammocks. Yeah, Jen.
Yes. Shrimp and hammocks. For those who don't know, Virginia Beach is a really beautiful camp. It was a really special camp a couple years ago. So if you can make it this year, it's worth it for sure. Yeah.
What's funny is like, I'm not a part of any of the planning or anything. So I'm like, who are the speakers? Who are the workshop instructors? What's it going to be? I'm excited. So, yeah. I'm with y'all. So, what's, do y'all have something planned or what's the future? Like, you put the podcast kind of like on hiatus for a little bit to like get focused. I know, Casey, you're moving, which is
a whole in a couple thing. Months. Yep. That's a lot of work too.
Yeah.
We're trying to sort of build the podcast back up slowly. We've kind of given ourselves grace to give it a little bit of time. Obviously, like, you know, Casey is moving and she's got like a big, you know, more responsibilities at work and stuff. So we're trying to just put things together. We've started to record a few episodes, which is nice. Great. If there's anybody out there that wants to edit on a pro bono situation, we'd love to hear from you.
Be a mom.
Have you tried the Premiere like editing stuff? It's pretty excellent.
Yeah. I think we're going to start we've been using, what was it called?
Riverside. Yeah. We started when we first started, I was editing everything in Audition and that was working all right.
That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work though. Yeah. Riverside has taken some of the time out of editing because it can polish things up fairly quickly with the AI tools that it has, but it's still a lot of work regardless. But one thing we did decide to do is to shorten up the length of the podcast. So we're only doing, you know, 10 to 30 minutes, depending on what our little topic is. Mm-hmm. And I think that for one, that makes it a little more digestible for people to be able to listen to, especially our community of moms. Yeah. Like, we don't all have a lot of time. Yeah. So being able to jump on for half an hour to listen to something is a little easier, but also it makes it easier on our end to to edit and export and 100%. Get it out there. So,
you know, and
the only one thing that I'm like, that I do feel guilt about, that I hope that we'll be able to like relaunch soon, is we were doing a monthly meetup on our Slack channel with like, with only our moms. And I really miss connecting with them. It's just, it really is hard to, it just had to set boundaries. Yeah. And and I think it's, you know, Casey's 3 hours behind me.
That's a big difference.
And it's a big difference. And it's like, it's hard for us to find the time in our schedules to do that. And Casey has a full-time job as well. So she can't just be like, oh, I'm going to take off an hour or two here. Yeah. And I love talking with our community. I don't know, maybe there's an opportunity for us to like, to have it just kind of ongoing, and then people can pop in whether we're there or not. Yeah. And that kind of might be nice.
Might be, also you could do an East Coast, West Coast thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we could. I don't know. but then, what about all the people in like the Midwest?
Well, and we're global.
Yeah, that's like, true.
We have a lot of women in the UK and all over the world. So
we've got people from everywhere. We've got a few people in France, Germany. We've got Australia. We've got Israel. We've got everywhere. So it's like.
Yeah.
We've got some people. I think there was two from Colombia. So like, it's just, you know, it's like, what are we going to, it's not, I don't know. It's, we're never going to find a time that works for everybody. So,
and are you finding that a lot of, like, no matter where they're at, like the same struggles,
same thing across the. Yeah.
Well, and like every country has different things regarding maternity leave or benefits or these different things, but in every country it's still not enough. So it's, you know, pretty universal that moms are needing support.
One of our first meetups that we had when we were like completely unprepared yet and not knowing what we were doing, we had a wonderful woman on. Her name was Suzanne.
Oh, I'm forgetting her last name now too. Dale. Suzanne Dale?
Possibly. And she's been advocating for women in the UK, and she's put together these beautiful packages for booklets on. It's called Matrescence, so it's like, it's what your body, your mind goes through when you have kids, and like you sort of go from being a pre-parent to a parent, and there's this whole like. Shift.
There's a lot of science behind it.
There's actual science behind it, but she was putting it together for companies so that they could help on like re-onboard parents that went out for maternity or paternity leave, and like having those conversations around like how do we make sure that everything is set up for them to leave, but also how is it set up for them to come back and like fit in. So does that mean having shorter work days? Does that mean like having like a period of time that you kind of do 3 days a week, or like how does that work? And having and offering real solutions for companies that like benefit both ends, because I think if you're a company, and if you're like, especially if you're a big company, and you say to your employees that we support you, they're going to be so freaking loyal when they come back.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge missed opportunity that a lot of companies are having. Like if I knew that I was going to be taken care of and that I would still get the right promotions and I would still get the same pay increase and that my experience being a mother wouldn't be a detriment to my career, then like I would have such loyalty for that company. And I would do like my utmost to do an amazing job, but I just feel like that's not the case. And that's personally not the case that I ran into. So, you know, I think it's been really nice to like bring those conversations to the head and hopefully we'll be able to do more of those. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's really interesting because I guess like, so they say when women when you're pregnant, that's when you really bond with the child and you kind of become a mother, you know? But for men, mm-hmm. it's not until the child is born that it just, yeah. And for me, it was 100% that, you know, because it was like the second both my kids were born, it was like just something snapped. And it's like, mm-hmm. okay, this is my life now. And it's also, it's more love than you can ever feel for anything in the entire world, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. You fundamentally change who you are as a person.
It's immediate.
And it's immediate. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah. So like,
I always tell my friend, I always remember the story. Like one of my closest friends growing up, she had her daughter about a year after I did. So, you know, I was already, you know, finding my feet, and I was, you know, yeah. in a space where I had a 1-year-old at this point. So she was, you know, I was peachy. I slept for 5 hours
right.
straight. I don't think I sleep 5 hours anymore, but anyways, it's, that's like premenopause and stuff like that. That's another.
Sure.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole another season of life.
Yeah. But anyways, God, the hormones that women have to deal with are so fucking brutal. Oh my God. Anyways, side note. Anyways, she
like all your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. She called me in tears after she had her daughter. And she's like, she was saying that how her husband, like, he's not connecting and how he's like, he doesn't know like what to do. And I'm like, dude, but you had 9 months to get used to the idea that you were about to have a baby. Like, you had 9 months to like let that sink in, and you went to all the doctor's appointments and you felt every movement and you peed 3,000 times and like you ate all of the cravings and you had all the hormonal shifts, and he just met her.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Just met her. And it's like, you can say all you want that, like, you know, it's like, we're pregnant. She's pregnant. your wife or partner is having a baby. Uh-huh. It's like, there's a physical thing that happens. The wiring in your brain physically changes. Like, mm-hmm. it changes. And I mean, your brain is set up to be pro, like, how do I fix the baby? How do I take yeah. care of the baby? Which is yeah. why it's devastating that women are going back after 6 weeks mm-hmm. to work in the United States, because their brain hasn't had time to rewire back.
Yeah.
And yeah. it's like, it's unfair for them emotionally, physically, to be expected to be their full selves. Yeah. Yeah. And not giving them like the space to heal. Like, that's just, it's just like, it should be a human right yeah. to be at yeah. home or choose to be at home. Like, if you don't want to stay at home, that's not, you know, that's your decision. But, but like, you need to have, like, would you go and get a heart transplant and then be expected to be back at
yeah.
work in 6 days? Like, you know, time, you need physical therapy. You need time to like reassess your life. And it's women are not treated fairly. Mm-hmm. And
well, and everybody's experience is totally different too. Some people could probably go back at a shorter time, and sure. some people mm-hmm. really can't. Like, there's pregnancies that are more difficult, and there's deliveries that are more difficult, and there's all kinds of different experiences that happen, and yet we're met with the same blanket, like, of, well, this is what you get.
This yeah. is what you get.
And uh-huh. it's changing every day. What was amazing yeah. to me was so both my kids were C-section babies, and mm-hmm. With our first child, my wife was in bed, like, at the hospital 4 days in bed. The second mm-hmm. one, they wanted her up and walking around every 4 hours, and it's like, oh, that's a big difference than what we were doing before. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. That's wild. And C-sections can take a little more time yeah. to heal and stuff,
like,
from.
Just imagine having a C-section, having to go back to work uh-huh. while you're still healing, yeah. breastfeeding, yeah. Or not even, like, even if you're not breastfeeding, like, your body still thinks they're breastfeeding. So it's going to take time for that to stop happening. And it's super fucking painful. Yeah. And mm-hmm. like, it's just mind boggling to me how they cannot have this basic human right uh-huh. as part of
Yeah.
Jenny's hated about this.
I know. So well, it's very
because we have so many women in our Slack from the United States, and I'm just, how is this possible? Like, how is this possible?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll go one step further, and here's a trigger warning for anyone who has dealt with miscarriage, but I have been pregnant more than once. I have one daughter, but I have been pregnant since then. And I had an ectopic pregnancy, actually. And it was pretty brutal. And I got 4 days of bereavement from work, and I had to come back. And I hadn't even, like, my body hadn't even finished processing the miscarriage before I had to, like, go back to work and have my mind back in the game. And I was a wreck. Yeah. So I was a wreck in a lot of ways, you know, not like not just physically, but also mentally.
Yeah. And, yeah. You know, and a lot of the conversation as well is like around employment, but like most of our industry and a lot of our industry are unemployed, like they're self-employed. Yes. So, you know,
and it's still an issue there too.
Yeah. Like I had a similar, I didn't have ectopic pregnancies, but I had multiple miscarriages and I was self-employed. So like, I don't get bereavement. Like if I'm not, there, you know, if I didn't show up for work, I don't get paid. So I'm sitting at my computer, like an emotional wreck, just, you know, trying to pretend that everything's okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, jumping on client calls and being like, yeah, everything's fine. How are you? So, you know, it's like, these systems like self-employment here is not up to par either. And there's like so many things that needs to change in that, and especially moving forward into 2000, whatever year we're in right now, 2025, I completely forgot.
that's how busy we've been.
But, you know, I think like the amount of people that are self-employed these days is climbing by the day. Mm-hmm. Our governments are not prepared for,
there's no support.
That change. There's no support. There's no support. If you're sick, if you're going through anything in your life as a self-employed individual. So there you go. I'm angry at our government too.
to go back to what y'all were talking about, you know, with miscarriage and stuff, because we dealt with it as well. I believe, Casey, me and you talked about this at Denver camp, and it's like, you know, it's a societal thing where people don't really talk about that, but it is so much more prevalent than what people, you know, than people realize. Like, it is extremely common. But I don't want to speak for women on this, but I feel like, you know, at least my wife, she dealt with not wanting to talk about that or feeling like that wasn't a topic of conversation that she could talk about openly with people, you know, and that's why I think especially Mothers of MoGraph in particular is very important, because it's like you can have those hard conversations that, you know, may be uncomfortable for some.
That is one of the reasons why I think Casey and I found each other. She was about a year after hers, and I was already coming up to two. I had five miscarriages.
Wow.
So I had already like grieved and accepted and moved on. And Casey was still in her journey. I was still in the thick of it. Yeah. And I think part of Mothers of MoGraph was, you know, we say that we didn't want women to be alone. It's because we were so alone. We were so alone. There was nobody to talk to. There's nobody in the industry that we could talk to. Like there, we didn't have it. Like, you know, you don't have friends that understand what you do for a living. So like explaining to them why this is such a problem it's unhelpful. And there was nobody to talk to in the industry about it. And having Mothers of MoGraph around, having a private personal channel to Casey to be able to like go through all the emotions of everything. So, I mean, that was the birth of Mothers of MoGraph. Like,
yeah, it was a big part of, I think why things got started, because if it was alienating enough to be a mom, it was like the loneliest island I've ever been on to go through the miscarriage.
It was like an island on an island.
Yeah. And even I remember asking my doctor when this was all happening, I was like, are there support groups? Is there somebody I can reach out to? And they were like, oh, no, maybe we should look into that. And I'm like, really? Okay.
Right. I'll just make my own.
yeah, exactly. It was wild to me that they didn't even have like available resources to talk to somebody. So, yeah. And then, and, you know, there's a lot of other topics that don't get talked about a lot too, like infertility and those kinds of things too. So,
infertility treatments as an employed or self-employed person is nearly impossible. Yeah. So I applaud anybody that goes down that route. It's a lot of work. It's not just like I show up one day and I'm pregnant.
Well, here we got real vulnerable here.
Casey, we're getting so good. We didn't even cry.
And we are going to talk more about those topics on our podcast soon enough. We think it's important to talk about those things because, like you said, it's not talked about often. And I think that there are a lot of people who are feeling lonely about their own journeys through those things.
Trying to do it cautiously and understand how triggering it is. So I apologize to any of your viewers that weren't expecting that.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to say thank you for coming on the show. I know your time is very precious. where can people find y'all if they're wanting to join this amazing community of mothers?
You can find all of our links at mothersofmograph.com. Everything is there.
Okay, awesome. And being able to join the Slack or the Discords or whatever.
Everything's there. All the buttons.
Awesome. You can follow. Yep, you can follow us on LinkedIn, and we're pretty active over there. Whether you're a mom or not, that's a good place to see what we're up to. So
awesome. I'm looking forward to the new episodes. Thanks so much for y'all coming on the show and being vulnerable. I really appreciate it. Yeah. thanks to everyone for joining. Make sure to follow us on all the socials, especially YouTube and Twitch. We've been doing our weekly hangouts. It's been a lot of fun. Those are Thursday nights at 7:30 PM Central Time. We got a bunch of fun guests coming on the show in the next couple weeks. We'll be taking 2 weeks off in April for both NAB and RenderCon. And also, if you haven't done it already, make sure to sign up for your very own MoGraph.com account. It's a one-stop shop for everything motion designer needs. You can showcase your demo reel projects you've worked on, post jobs and apply for jobs, sell digital goods, blah, 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 all the other stuff. We got a bunch of members. We're having a lot of fun with it. So come join us, MoGraph.com. And thanks to everyone. And until next time, I'm Matt. And those are the mothers of MoGraph.
And here we are.
later, yo.
It's pretty good, I guess.